The Frequency Podcast with Nautica De La Cruz and Amy Lopez.
Amy.
Nautica.
You are back. Hello. We are back after
I'm back from outer space.
You're back from outer space. First of all, welcome to the Frequency Podcast. I'm Nautica De La Cruz.
I'm Amy Lopez.
And we are in season 10.
Are we?
You know, look that up.
Manny just asked me this weekend. He was like, hey, are you guys still doing the podcast? And I was like, yeah, hello. And he's like, what is this, like season 2? And I was like, what the hell? I was like.
Well, no, tell Manny that we are not in season 2, okay? He just needs a lot of catching up to do.
And by the way,
Manny, if you're listening, big tight hug. Hope you and your wife and the kids are doing well. So on our week off, as we went from one season now into a new season, what did you get into? What's up in your life? What's new? What have I missed?
Nothing.
Okay, nothing.
You literally have missed absolutely nothing, except more of the same
baseball. And work
and sports and work and nothing new to report, surprisingly.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we are in spring. Summer is right around the corner. School will be out within a month and within a month and a week. Any plans for Mateo?
Oh my God. Mateo's graduating.
Yes, Mateo
elementary
is graduating.
School.
Oh, that is amazing.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is too much too fast.
Okay.
Another day. Don't get me emotional. All right. It's too
okay.
early.
It's too all early. Right. I'm gonna drop that conversation. Okay. What is new with me. Just celebrated, or I should say, I'm celebrating 28 years in radio. So I'm happy about that. Thank you. Thank you for reposting that. That was very sweet and kind of you. And you know, living life to the fullest. Trying to be creative every single day. And you know, when you get to a certain age, Amy, you're not as old as I am, but you are catching up. It's just gonna take you a really long time. You know, you try different, let me rephrase that. Yes, you try different things and you try new things, but when you do try them, you go full force. You're like, fuck it. What do I got to lose? You know what I mean? Unlike when you were younger, you're kind of like, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm a little scared of that. But no, you know, I think once you hit a certain age, it's like everything goes out the window.
You're unapologetically you.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's why older people can say whatever the hell they want and they can give two shits.
That is true. Oh, but I will tell you something. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, this past weekend, I went to have you been to the Walt Disney Barn?
No.
Okay. So the Walt Disney Barn it's in LA, but it's more like Los Feliz. It's actually in Griffith Park. It's at the beginning of Griffith Park. And it's only opened the third Sunday of the month from like 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And I went to Walt Disney's barn because Walt Disney's barn is actually there. It's actually a replica. It wasn't his first barn. It was his second barn that his daughter, Diane, ended up donating. And I tell you, it was so amazing, Amy. So this barn was his man cave. Before men had man caves, the barns were men's man cave. And
okay.
I mean, they have the original sink. They have the original, you know, the little brush where they used to foam and shave?
Mm-hmm.
One of his original hats. They have the original plans of what Disneyland was going to look like. It was kind of where he was very creative, where he was just dropping like ideas, and you know, some of them were good, some of them were great, some of them were not so good, but it was
where he was contemplating all his mommy issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, probably that too. But I mean, there was so much stuff, his original toolboxes, his original tools. And you know, he had a fascination for trains because he used to work on a train. So he did three routes, and he was kind of like the what was it called? There was a term analogy for it, but you know, he would sell candy and cigarettes on the train and sometimes put away luggage, or you know, be in charge of just the luggage. So he had this fascination of trains since he was in his teens, and that's kind of how you got the train, this steam train that goes around Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And the monorail, that's another thing, the original drawing of the monorail is in this barn. So it's fascinating. So anyone who ever comes to the Los Angeles area who's visiting on a vacation, and if you're here the third Sunday of the month, you want to get there early. It's called Walt Disney's Barn. And I got to talk to some people that worked for Disney, and I got some secrets too, and some other places that people don't know about that are hidden. So I'm going to go visit. Also, another thing, are you keeping up? Are you keeping up at all? I know last season we kind of left off on the whole Diddy thing. Are you keeping up with that?
It's just all crazy to me. Like it now that it's gone into, I saw an episode today or one of those like shorts on Facebook or Instagram, one of those two, okay, about how Daisy and him plotted to get rid of Aaliyah.
Yes.
And it's just like this whole freaking like conspiracy, but not so conspiracy. I don't know if why, for me, some conspiracies make sense.
Yeah.
Is that why they're conspiracies?
Yeah, they make sense.
Because they make sense. Yep. Even like the far-fetched ones, it's like, okay, like, it's not too far off from what could have possibly happened.
Look, dropping no names here, I knew someone that worked for the Pentagon, and this person couldn't say too much, but one thing he did say was that any conspiracy that you believe, about 90% of it is true. And that's all he could say. And I was like, ooh, interesting.
I mean, I talk to people all the time who have clearances, and they're just like, I can't speak on it. I can answer yes or no, or no comment, you know? And I'm just like, done. Like, I'll have a sticky note ready for these people. I'm like, all right, this question. He's like, yes. This question, no. This question, no comment. This, I was like, all right. All right. So
I can't.
The ones that they're saying yes to, 100%, right? The ones that you're saying no to is because it's a no. But the no comment ones are like a yes, but no comment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We could read between the lines. Yeah. We ain't stupid. Uh-huh. We ain't stupid. So, okay. So, I mean, we'll just say another thing about that. It feels like everything is just kind of piling up on him and all these people. Like, allegedly, T.D. Jakes stepped down from preaching at the church, and Beyonce allegedly and Jay-Z are getting divorced because she doesn't want to be involved in this whole, his whole scheme and whatnot. I just think this is messier than ever. But like I said last time, 2024 is the year of truths, of people really showing their colors, of just people, you know, just they're being exposed. They're really being exposed. And on that note, I want to talk about something. I wanted to ask, and I thought maybe we could talk about this either. Maybe you have some experiences, but when is it the right time, or when is it time to truly let a friend go when you've been disrespected?
How much poison can you drink until you die?
Oh, okay. That says a lot, Amy. That says a lot, Amy. Yeah, no. I mean,
I think that some friendships, we've talked about this. Like, we have a very small core of like lifelong friends, right? And if you're lucky, you can count them in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like, and those are the people that that have been around, but are not around 24/7, but you pick up like they are.
Right.
When you do see them, you can go without talking to them for a year, but as soon as you pick up that phone call for that happy birthday message or whatever it may be, it's like, you know, you never disconnected or you never lost touch. And you also have the friends, those also tend to be the friends that you could call at the drop of the dime, and they will do whatever it is that they
for you. They're your ride or die.
So, exactly. And you have a small group of those. And then you have another group of friends that are like your day-to-days, right? And those are your like army. They keep you on check. You have common ground. You see them often. And the reason you have common ground is because you're experiencing the same things. And those are also like good friends. But then you have friends, or quote unquote friends, who you have been there ride or die, and you've been there, you know, through thick and thin, and you've held their hair back at the toilet and also cried for them. And you think that they're that group of people that are going to be there with you 24/7. And like you say, there comes a time in your life when you start realizing that it's all one way.
Yeah, and not
like it's a one-way highway where it's like give. And I think that we make the mistake of keeping those friends around because, unfortunately, It's a way to feed our ego sometimes, because you're doing so much for them that it's your way of validating that you're a good person. You know, we do it for ourselves in a sense. Yes, you're there for your friend, but it also gives you a sense of satisfaction to know it's like, damn, I helped them through this. I've been there for them through thick and thin. And that's the good karma that you put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it doesn't get reciprocated. And you think that they're great friends because you've gone through some pretty thick stuff with them.
Yes.
You know, you come to realize that they're not as healthy of a relationship to have around. Because as I said, you know, how much poison can you drink until you die? And it could be a microdose of poison, you know.
What if you drink a little bit of that microdose and it doesn't do too much damage, but then you try to mend the friendship and you already know that it's tainted and that the trust is kind of gone. But because you have so much history with that person of, I don't know, 20, 25, 30 years, let's say, speaking in general, do you think that could go back to where it was or no?
I think it can. I think it can. It can definitely go back to where it was, but it has to take work from both sides. And it has to have an acknowledgement of where it went left from both sides.
Sides, right.
Because
okay.
as far as the, how can I put it? The expectations that we have, sometimes, even though we're saying like, hey, I keep taking this poison, we have a little bit of fault in it too, because you picked up the glass, you know, someone just served it. You picked up the glass. And a lot of times we don't realize that maybe something that we did caused that situation to go left, right? Maybe we pushed a little too hard, thinking that we were helping them in a situation, and we pushed them a little too hard and at some point disrespected them, you know?
You know, I agree with you on that, but I also feel that, you know, friendship should be reciprocated with respect and love and warmth. You know what I mean? And there's always, sometimes there is that one individual that takes more than gives. And then I think that's when you start feeling a little sour, like you start feeling that metal in your mouth. I don't know if anyone has ever had that taste. But, and even when you try to confront this individual, your friend, it's like, you know, they say they're offended because you're offended, or they say, you know, I'm mad because you're mad. And you're like, well, you're not listening to my feelings. You're not really looking at the situation. But, you know, because sometimes I think we want to mend friendships because it's like we have given so many years to this person. You know what I mean? But then I think about people that come in your life in seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And you also have to think of friendships are like relationships, are like marriages. And you can call the history, just to kind of halfway compare. We keep saying, and we preach this a lot, right? Me and you say that it's not healthy to stay in a relationship for the kids.
Right.
Right? It's the same thing. It's you're staying in this friendship because of the history. So that's not healthy either. Because you're trying to base, you know, the future on what was that is no longer the case. Like, you have to take in, do I want to continue this friendship to what it is now, to what it's evolved to now? Mm-hmm. And you don't have to completely get rid of a friend. You could just demote them, you know, demote them to an acquaintance. Like, hey, I have no hard feelings. I wish you nothing but the best. I have nothing bad to say about you, but you're just no longer fitting in the path that I'm going with now. So if we come across each other, great. I maybe still shoot a happy birthday text or whatever. But that's you just showing you're the bigger person. And if it, and you know, you demote them again, if it's not reciprocated at that point, then it's another demotion till you phase them out.
I think that's the one part that it doesn't, I can't say that I'm good at. I'm not good at demoting a friend. I'm better off at cutting off a friendship, because then I lose your phone number. I lose your contacts. I really don't want to talk to you ever again. You know,
you do get to that point. you yeah. get to that point. I mean, yeah. but that's to each their own. I'm good at phasing people out of my life, but I'm also good at, you know, cutting you cold turkey, no trying, no, it just depends on the level
of, yeah,
of disrespect or the level of lack of loyalty or lack of, or a breach of trust. For yeah. me, trust is a big one, right? So if I trust you with something, which I don't open up to many people. So if I trust you with something and I'm very particular as to who knows what, so if it ever comes out, I know exactly who spoke it or who said it.
I completely understand, because I think that amongst friends, we say things and we trust each other. But when a third and fourth party mentions it again to another friend, you feel like, oh, okay, I know where this came from. And then you get more upset with your friend because you know who it came from. You know what I mean? And it becomes a trickle effect. And then that's when you go, okay, I really cannot trust this person. And I see that. And I also see that sometimes people change and become, they become a little bit bitter and angrier and petty and malicious and vicious. And that doesn't sit well with me. You know what I mean? That's when I could go, you know what? I can cut you off cold turkey. And it doesn't mean anything to me, even if we have been friends for, you know, 20 plus years. I'm just one of those, like, if there was a white canvas and this beautiful painting was painted and someone came and with a black bucket of paint and just did two stripes on it, I would go, I can't fix this. This will never look the same to me. In my eyes, this piece of art will never look the same.
Yeah, you're right. And again, it's whatever makes you feel better. It's like I tell people, as long as you can honestly say that you've checked all your boxes, you know, you've tried. You've tried to have the conversation, you've tried to save, you know, the relationship for what it's worth for as much of our lives as we've shared together. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, if down the line you have no regrets, you're not going to be on your deathbed, I wish I would have said this, I wish I would have mended this relationship. No, yeah. That's not, if your conscience is clear, then fuck it, you know, delete the contact, block the number, but also stick to it, you know, especially I think that with your professional, you know, line of work, there's going to be times when, I guess mutual friends will ask, or you may cross paths with these people, yeah. you know, and, you know, you have to be comfortable with, you know, playing that role of, hey, how's it going? You know, see you later type of thing.
Be respectful. I would never be rude. You know, if I saw, you know, this person at a bar, you know, I wouldn't just ignore them. I'd just kind of give them the heads up, like, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. I don't need to have a conversation with you. You know what I mean? But okay. Well, you know what? That put a lot in perspective. Thank you, Amy. And Amy, I want to say this last thing, because we're about to sign off. If you and I want to remain friends, I think it would be really nice if you invited me over for taco night and margaritas.
Anything else?
I'm just kidding.
I actually made chicken soup the other day and I was like,
no, are you serious? I could have came over with my own Tupperware. I'll bring my own Tupperware. Let me just tell our listeners, Amy makes the best caldo soup. Oh, it is so delicious. And I still have to learn your recipe. I really do. But all right. Well, thank you.
Lesson pending.
There you go. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. You could write us in, send us messages
on all social media platforms. You can find us Frequency Podcast, or you can email us directly at frequency@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.